listening to Cruising the Blues with me, your host, Mr. Jack. I'll be your chauffeur and guide as we cruise through the highway and various regions of the blues on our ultimate blues tour. I hope within the next hour and in subsequent shows I can introduce you to the blues in its many forms. We'll take a musical road trip and cruise the many waters of the blues from the early 20th century through its evolution to today and where it's headed tomorrow. So join me this next hour as we start cruising the blues. Fasten your seatbelts, here we go.
Yeah, you got me looking gravy, baby.
In 1999, the Carnegie Public Library Board of Trustees made a standalone museum in the state of Mississippi, the Delta Blues Museum, which in fact is the state's oldest music museum. A five-member board appointed by the mayor and the Board of Commissioners of Clarksdale, Mississippi, governs the museum. It is funded annually by the city of Clarksdale, and through its gift shop revenue, granting agencies and donations, the museum uses public and private funds to carry out its mission. The mission is stated as, "The Delta Blues Museum is dedicated to creating a welcoming place where visitors find meaning, value, and perspective by exploring the history and heritage of this unique American musical art form known as the blues." So I decided to give this blues museum a call. I had the privilege to talk to the museum's active executive director, Shelley Ritter, to find out more about this unique museum, its missions, and its goals. So let's get into the interview. Today on our blues road trip, we're taking a trip down south to Clarksdale, Mississippi to explore the Delta Blues Museum and to talk to the museum's active executive director, Shelley Ritter, to find out more about this unique museum, its mission goals, present status, and future vision. Shelley, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Is this year, 2019, is this actually the 40th anniversary year?
It is. You know, we were started January 30th, 1979 in the Carnegie Public Library by the director was Sid Graves, and he convinced his board of trustees that we needed a blues museum. So we were begun. And we're the world's first museum devoted entirely to blues.
That's great. And how long have you been involved with and actually held the title of executive director of this of the Delta Blues Museum?
Well, I've been here as the executive director since July 1, 2003, but I was involved with the museum when I was in graduate school and then in some other jobs prior to coming here.
Okay. Wow, wonderful.
So, I would guess since the late 80s, maybe.
Okay. So, are you from that area? Where are you from?
I'm not. I was born in Memphis and raised in Kosciuszko, Mississippi.
Okay. All right. So, let's talk about, you know, there's many different types of regional blues across the United States in particular. You know, there's Eastern Piedmont blues, the Texas blues, West Coast, and then we have the Delta blues. Would you kind of just define a Delta blues and what is significant about Clarksdale, Mississippi and the area surrounding it in connection to the Delta blues to the listeners here?
Well, the Delta blues comes from the Delta, and the Delta is the flatland on either side of the Mississippi River, which is sort of the alluvial floodplain. And so Clarksdale was essentially a swamp until the levee system was built and they could drain everything to build railroads and towns. Oh. So we didn't come into existence until about 1865.
Okay,
but most all the blues greats that you know either came from the Mississippi Delta or Clarksdale in Cahoma County or came through Clarksdale in Cahoma County. Even though Muddy Waters wasn't born here, he did grow up on Stovall Farms, and that's where Alan Lomax came and recorded him. And, of course, his song Catfish Blues, which is also known as Rolling Stone, named a magazine and a band. We have Sun House is from Riverton, which is a section of Clarksdale. Ike Turner's from Clarksdale. Sam Cooke, The list just goes on and on. Howlin' Wolf spent some time here, even though he's from West Point originally.
Wow, wow.
But I think our proximity to Memphis has a lot to do with our artists getting out and being discovered, and also our proximity to the Mississippi River.
Okay, wow.
And the railroad.
Oh,
and
yes.
And Highway 61. So.
Yeah, there's a number.
A lot of ways to migrate the music out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Tell us about the early days of the museum and how it evolved over the years. Because I visited it a long time ago, back in 1998, just before you were moving to your new location. And from what I can tell online and looking and researching, the museum has really grown. So, just tell us some things about the museum's history, I guess, a little bit more. What's been going on?
Well, when we started, we opened in the Myrtle Hall branch of the Carnegie Public Library, which is the African-American branch. It was a small library, and we didn't, you know, remember we're in a library, so they didn't really have a collection, so to speak. So they would set up the exhibits in the library, and there were some security concerns. And they would take the exhibits down and take them home and, you know, take them back to the library the next day.
Oh, my.
And I think around 1981, we moved into the main library branch at 114 Delta Avenue. And we were in a small space there. Eventually, the library received some funding to kind of revamp and add on, and so we moved upstairs in the library, but we started our arts and education program where we were teaching students how to sing and play blues, and the activities of the museum kind of were disruptive to people who were trying to use the library to study and, you know, do more academic things.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1999, the city of Clarksdale redid the Yazoo, Mississippi Railroad Depot.
Oh.
And so we are located in a refurbished depot, and it was built as a passenger freight depot, so it was nice. And in 2012, I added 7,300 square feet to that space.
Wow.
So we have more rooms for exhibits, and at some point during that time, probably around 90. Was the Muddy Waters Cabin here when you visited?
It had just moved.
Oh, no, we were still in the library, weren't we? That's what you said.
Yeah, it was not. And
okay.
There was something, it wasn't even in the area. It was on tour somewhere or something, or it was being
right,
restored at that time.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the Stovall family brought it back home to the Blues Museum. So we have, that's our largest artifact, and it's in the new wing, which we call the Muddy Waters Wing. And we have recently received some National Endowment for the Humanities funding, so we're working on upgrading our permanent exhibit so that we can tell an even deeper blues story. So we have funding from the NEH, and then, of course, we need to raise some matching funds. Fundraising is a large part of what we do, as well as trying to, you know, tell the story of the blues and share it with the world.
Mm-hmm. Shelley had just previously mentioned a recording by Alan Lomax, which was back in August 24th through the 31st in 1941 on the Stovall Plantation, which is right outside of Clarksdale, Mississippi. And this was with Muddy Waters. So we're going to hear a little interview and then a song by Muddy Waters called I Bees Troubled. You're listening to Cruising the Blues with me, your host, Mr. Jack. And we're in Clarksdale, Mississippi today. Thanks for joining us.
I wonder if you'd tell me, if you can remember, when it was that you made that blues, Muddy Waters.
I made that blues up in 38.
Remember the time, the year?
I made it up about the 8th of October in 38.
Do you remember where you were when you were doing your singing? And how it happened?
Sir.
No, I mean, where you were sitting and what you were thinking about?
Speaking of the puncture on the car. and had been mistreated by a girl, and this looked like that run in my mind to sing that song.
Tell me a little of the story of it, if you don't mind. I mean, if it's not too personal. I mean, I want to know the facts and how you felt and why you felt the way you did. That's a very beautiful song.
Well, I just felt blue, and the song veiled into my mind, and it's come to me just like that song, and I started singing and went on.
Well, when you do you know, is that tune the tune for any other blues that you know?
Well, yes, it's been some blues played like that.
What tune, other blues, do you remember it runs to that same tune?
Well, this song come from the cotton field, and the boy went put the record out, Robert Johnson. He put it out walking blues.
What was the title he put it out under?
He put it out on as name of walking blues.
Uh-huh. Did you know the tune before you heard it on the record,
though? Yes, sir. I knew the tune before I heard it on the record.
Who'd you learn it from?
I learned it from Son House.
Son House, who's that?
That's a boy that took a guitar. And I don't know
And how old is Son House?
Oh, I imagine Son, he's aged, but he's about 47.
Did you know Johnson yourself?
Robert Johnson, also, uh-huh. I didn't know him personally.
Is House a better player than Johnson is, you think?
I think they're both about equal.
Well, how did it come to you first that you wanted to play the guitar? Why did you decide that you wanted?
I just loved the music. And saw Son Sam them playing, and I just wanted to do it, and I took after it.
Well, about how much have you practiced? How many hours when you were first picking it up? How long did you have to play every day to learn how to play?
From an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Every day?
Every day.
You remember what the first piece you ever tried to learn was?
First piece I ever tried to learn was How Long Blues, Leroy Carter.
Did you learn that from a record or from Sam?
I learned that from the record.
How would you do? How would you learn that song?
Well, we just heard the song, you know, we just put out, Leroy Carter put it out.
Would you sit down with the record and play a little of it and then try to imitate?
I just got the song in my ear and went on and just tried to play.
Well, how did you learn how to play with this bottle?
Picked that up from Son House.
What do you call that?
It's a bottleneck. I call it a slide.
You call it a slide?
Yes.
You wear on your little finger.
Yes.
And how do you have that guitar tune? What's the name of that tune?
Spanish.
Spanish. You know any other ways of tuning the guitar than that?
Well, I know the natural. Tuning natural.
Do you have another tuning besides that?
Yes, so I have another tune.
What's the name of that other tune?
That's just Straight E.
Straight E. Yes. Do you have another name for Straight E?
Another song for Straight E?
No, I mean, is there any other name for that tuning than Straight E?
Well, we call it cross notes.
Well, can you play that other country blues that you played in there a while ago, that fast one?
Yes.
In this same tune here? Well, just a minute. I'll tell you when I'm ready.
Like I feel today, I'm gonna pack my suitcase and make my gift. But I'm troubled, I'm all right. And I never be satisfied, and I just can't keep up. Yeah, I know my little old bae, she gonna jump and shout. That old train be late, girl, and I come walking out. But I'm troubled, I'm all worried now. Yet I never be satisfied, and I just can't keep up. Yeah, I know somebody sure been talking to you. I don't need no telling, girl, I can watch the way you. I'm troubled. I be all right. Yet I never be satisfied, but I just can't keep up. Yeah, now goodbye, babe. Got no more to say. Just like I've been telling you, girl, you're gonna have to meet my. But I'm troubled. I'm all worried. Yeah, and I never be satisfied. I just can't keep up. Yeah, my baby, she quit me. Seemed like mama was dead. I got real wood, yeah, and she drove it to my head. I'd be troubled, I'd be all worried. Yeah, and I never be satisfied. I just can't keep up crying.
That was a young McKinley Morganfield, better known as Muddy Waters, recorded in 1941 by Alan Lomax, who was in search of artists such as Robert Johnson, whom, unbeknownst to Lomax, had passed away. He was in the Mississippi Delta area, in this case, Coahoma County, near Clarksdale, Mississippi, home of the Delta Blues Museum, which we are visiting today via an interview with the museum's active executive director, Shelley Ritter. Let's get back into our interview with Shelley at the Delta Blues Museum. Do you have, what would it be, like traveling exhibits that come through the museum or certain types of exhibits that you sponsor or have at certain times during the year?
When I got here, the museum really didn't change its exhibits, and so I try to have something fresh, either just adding a new person to the gallery or adding, you know, several hundred square feet of a traveling exhibit or a temporary exhibit in conjunction with our festivals, largely the Jute Joint Festival, which is in April, and the Sunflower River Blues and Gospel Festival in August. And if we have enough time, we sometimes also change before the King Biscuit Festival in October.
Oh, okay.
But for sure, if you visited us in April during Jute Joint, come back in August during Sunflower, because something will be different.
Okay, wow. And that King Biscuit one, is that over in Arkansas, or is that in Clarksdale, too?
That's in Helena, Arkansas,
yes, okay. Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's really great.
Yeah.
And more and more festivals are beginning to pop up, but those are the three largest and longest.
Wow, that's great. Being that, as you mentioned a lot of the American blues was developed in this region, of the Delta region. So who are some of the musicians that have actually come out of this area recently? Some new artists, let's say.
Well, we have an arts and education program that actually Mr. Johnny Billington started it in his garage in Lambert, and the museum kind of reached out to him, and he moved it into the museum. And some of his students are local musicians around town, and two of his students are now teaching in the program. One of those is Anthony Big A Sherrard, and he's traveling the world performing blues when he's not here teaching at the museum or performing in Clarksdale.
Okay.
And then another one of our program graduates is, the last time I checked, he had like the top five blues album. His name is Christone Kingfish Ingram.
Oh, yeah,
and Kingfish. He was on tour with Buddy Guy, and when that ends, he's going to be on tour with Vampire Weekend.
Oh, wow.
And he came to us at age 5 and then dropped out of the program and came back at 7.
And age 5.
And he's just amazingly talented, so check him out if you can.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I believe I'm running a show today on his debut release on Alligator Records.
Oh, well, great.
Yep.
Well, he went in 2014, our arts and education program was recognized with the National Arts and Humanities Youth Program Award, and I got to, and of the 12 youth programs that were recognized, two were selected to perform at the ceremony in the East Wing of the White House, and we were selected, so I got to take 5 of the students, and he was among the 5.
Wow, that's great.
And we performed for First Lady Michelle Obama there in the East Wing. It was pretty amazing.
Oh, that's wonderful. Let's talk about the community. It seems like the community support seems to be very friendly and welcoming to the museum's stability and goals and programs. And what can you share about the people of the area as far as their interest in educating the public and importance of understanding the history of the region and its importance to American music history?
Well, we have visitors, international visitors, coming to the museum daily.
Wow.
So that's really awesome, and it's a great reminder to the community that the Blues Museum and blues music is an important part of its history.
Wow.
The city of Clarksdale supports us with a dedicated tax millage. So that's great. And then we have good working relationships with most of the hotels and restaurants in town, because our visitors, you know, get hungry and oftentimes they need a place to sleep.
That's true. That's true. So what are some other things, let's say, you know, that you'd like the listeners to know or understand either about the Delta Blues or the museum that only a person such as you that's been involved with this for so long can kind of share with them? Or
do the best we can with what we have to work with. And we have an extremely small staff, and we're in, you know, the Mississippi Delta. So a lot of times people come in and, you know, everyone has a suggestion of what we ought to be doing, but with only 4 full-time staff members and a very limited budget, we do what we can do. So we need support, financial support, not just suggestions of what to do, because
yes,
and you can probably relate to this. I mean, we have to deal with copyright and licensing in every aspect that we do. And so you can't take pictures in the Blues Museum because there's only 1 or 2 pictures of Robert Johnson, Charlie Patton, et cetera. And we have paid a fee, signed an agreement. And oftentimes people don't understand that, especially as the technology age continues.
That's great information.
You know, it's kind of like the people that we are showcasing and honoring. A lot of them got taken advantage of in their lifetime, and then why do you want to come, you know, respect what they have that trying to preserve and, you know.
That's really interesting.
Interesting line to walk, but people don't often, they're so excited, or the way that social media has evolved, people don't think about that.
Right. Yeah, they think, oh, why can't I take
a
picture? What's the big deal?
We don't want you to take a picture. It's like we don't own the pictures that we show.
Ah, yes. That is great information. So do you have a newsletter or a blog or something people can subscribe to keep abreast?
We do. We have a newsletter called Keeping the Beat. We send that out quarterly. You can subscribe to it on our website, which is deltabluesmuseum.org. We, as part of our National Endowment for the Humanities grant, we get to upgrade our website, so we're very excited about that.
Mm.
And I'm hoping we can launch it sometime next month, but there's a lot of pages and content on there that we're having to go through, and again, we're having to get, you know, licensing and copyright in order to have the images on the website.
Okay, so that's one of the
That's a different
future
animal than putting it on the wall.
Oh, of course. Yeah. So that's one of the museum's goals, is to be able to have things online as well. Is that what you're saying? That they can do? Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's another song from an artist out of the Mississippi Delta region, Sun House with Jinx Blues.
Mm-hmm. next morning, Jenks around, Jenks around, round my bed. I said, I got up this morning with the Jenks all around my bed. You know, I thought about you, honey, and it'd like to kill me dead. Look at you now, baby, what you want me, what you want me, me to do? Look at you, honey, I see what they want for me to do. You know I done all I could, just trying to get along with you. You know the blues ain't nothing but low down shaking, aching cheer. I said the blues is a low down old aching cheer. Well, if you ain't had a money, I hope you never will. Well, the blues is a worried heart, worried heart, heart disease. Oh, the blues is a worried, oh, heart disease. Look like the woman you be loving, man, it's so doggone hard to please. I'd rather be outdoors, walking up, and down the road. I said, I'd rather be outdoors, I said, walking up and down the road. And be laying around here working just for my board and clothes. Look at you, little girl, don't you cry, don't you cry, cry no more. I said, look at you, darling, honey, don't you try to cry no more. Well, when I leave this time, I'm gonna hang crepe on your door.
Today on our blues road trip, we are talking with active executive director of the Delta Blues Museum in Clarksdale, Mississippi, Shelley Ritter. I'll be right back with more of our interview in just a minute. This is Mr. Jack of Cruising the Blues with Mr. Jack. Hey, thanks for joining me today.
Talking to my neighbors, listening to my friends. Everybody's hurting. When's it gonna end? Hard times. I'm talking about hard times. If it wasn't for my woman, I believe I lose my mind. Prices going up down at the dollar store. Things we used to buy, we can't buy no more. Hard times. I'm talking about hard times. If it wasn't for my woman, I think I'd lose my mind. Thank you. children of the future, better find a better way. Doomsday's round the corner, gonna be some hell to pay. Hard times. Talking about in hard times. If it wasn't for my baby, I believe I'd lose my mind. Outside of this town, I have friends and family that I see every day. Don't plan no moving forward, stuck in the same old place. But that's not the road that I wanna go down. Outside of this town. Outside of this town, outside of this town, outside of this town, outside of this
Both of those tunes you just heard were from Christone Kingfish Ingram, a Clarksdale, Mississippi native whose debut album was recently released on the Alligator Records label. And as you may have heard in our interview today with Delta Blues Museum's active executive director Shelley Ritter, she's made mention of Kingfish and his connection to the museum and its musicians' educational program in Clarksdale, Mississippi. Let's get back to our conversation with Shelley Ritter from the Delta Blues Museum. You're listening to Cruising the Blues with me, your host, Mr. Jack. What's another goal you have as an active executive director? What's in your vision? What's one of the new, I guess, closest things to your heart or mind that you're thinking of right now that you'd like to pursue?
Wow, there are many.
I'll bet there are.
I would love to have an education director who could sort of take over the programming, because I have to do the exhibits and the programming and a lot of other things.
Sure.
And having somebody that could handle that would allow us to be able to do so much more. And if we had somebody who could work on social media for us full time, that would be really awesome too. And I think we could expand our reach, and that person could then work with the education person to really get the message out there in ways that are user friendly to teachers, or just, you know, somebody wanted to do a program, or just provide more resources, user-friendly resources for everybody.
Sure, it's the museum's way of reaching out to educate what the blues is,
right,
and so forth. And yeah, that's great.
One of the fun things we have on our website is the Explore and Learn, and they are little snippets. Like we have Follow Muddy Waters, so you follow him from his birth to Chicago to his influence out in the world. We have Follow Charlie Musselwhite. We have a feature on the Great Migration, and I hope that they're useful to teachers, you know, in the classroom, as as just, you know, learning tools for adults.
Oh, yes.
But
yeah,
I'd
that's
love
great.
To
yep.
Just add more and more and more and more and more of those.
And
incorporate them into the gallery somehow. But.
Oh, yeah. I think that's really commendable. You know, history is something that we need to continually put forth in an effort to put forth to teach the public about history, because and however we can do that, we have a lot of resources to do that today, but I just think it's so important to learn about history in general, and especially for people in music to understand from your perspective in your area in Mississippi there, the kind of the birthplace of actually, it's basically the birthplace of modern music, of modern rock and roll, or
right,
you know, even the pop music, everything, it kind of comes from there.
Oh yeah, you know, in the turn of the 20th century, when Peabody was here doing an archaeological dig, he stopped his work and wrote a paper for the Journal of American Folklore about the music that the workers were creating. They were assigned to him by the landowner, you know, to help him dig, and it basically says, I don't know what I heard, but it was profound, and if you are an ethnomusicologist, go to Tahoma County and listen to this.
Wow.
And then, you know, W.C. Handy reinvented himself as the father of the blues after he realized that the bluesmen were getting a better audience and better tips than he was.
Wow.
And then you had, Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, and Porgy and Bess. And
that's right.
You know, then the record industry caught on after Mamie Smith's record sold.
Oh yeah, crazy!
What was it, like?
Crazy Blues, 1920, wasn't it?
Right, but it sold like 10,000 copies one day, or something wild like that.
I just wrote an article on that. People were actually buying at that time record players, so they could hear that. There was a surgence of record players at that time being sold. Here are a couple more musicians from the Mississippi Delta area whom are renowned for their contribution to the Delta Blues and the Clarksdale, Mississippi area as well. We'll start off with an early recording of David Honeyboy Edwards with a tune titled Black Cat, and we'll follow that up with Johnny Shines and a song titled So Glad I Found You. Both of these musicians, by the way, were in direct contact with and had shared gigs with the infamous Robert Johnson, whom so many have been inspired by. Music from the Mississippi Delta today on our tour of the Delta Blues Museum in Clarksdale, Mississippi.
Well, I won't see my baby now. Well, I won't see my baby now. I want him to be so bad. Don't want to be no how. Well, where the black or the white cat? Let's go across town and climb. Let's go across town and climb. If you don't find the money now, who will make this black shit down? Well, the black cat or the white cat, let's go across town and climb. Let's go across town and climb. If you don't find the money, who will make such a blind step down? I want to see my baby now. Ooh, I want to see my baby now. Told me late last night, ooh, well, man, I want a woman on high. See my baby now. Ooh, I want to see my baby now. Told me late last night. Ooh, well, baby, want no man no how.
about these things. Let it rain, rain a long time. Baby, you have been a calling, and now hauling 3 degrees. Call my name. Well, I love you for your smiles and the way that you call my name. Well, you call it so soft and cool, baby, but I swear it's so doggone plain.
W.C. Handy, that was an area, was that Tutwiler? Where was that? Where he was...
Well, he first heard the blues, in his words, he heard a loose-limbed Negro playing the weirdest music I've ever heard. Those are his words. And he was in Tutwiler at the depot waiting to catch the train back to Clarksdale because he lived here for a period of time before he moved up to Memphis.
Okay, wow. And also, was it Mamie Smith or Bessie Smith that actually, she actually passed away there in Clarksdale, right? I think it was...
Yeah, she did. She was in a car accident on Highway 61, and, you know, there were no cell phones or really telephones, and so by the time the ambulance got there, other people were having accidents because the roads weren't lit, et cetera, and they, because of segregation, they took the white people to the hospital first, and by the time they got to her, they took her to the Negro hospital over here, which is now the Riverside Hotel. It's formerly the G.T. Thomas African-American Hospital, and, you know, she just couldn't pull through.
And that was Bessie Smith, right?
Right. That
yes.
Was Bessie.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That. Just so again, there's so much history in your area regarding music, and you mentioned
there really is.
You mentioned earlier Alan Lomax visiting Muddy Waters. That was in the early '40s, correct?
That's right. There's a CD called The Plantation Recordings that has all the things that Lomax recorded with Muddy. He came here looking for Robert Johnson, who had passed away, and so he got routed to Muddy.
Wow.
Which is great for Muddy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And for us.
was Muddy on...
We might not have the Rolling Stones.
True.
If he hadn't recorded Muddy.
That's true. And was Muddy on the Stovall Plantation at that time?
Yes.
He was. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, and there's another thing, just the history of, the whole area down there is got so rich in history of everything, the plantations, the history of the people there and so forth. And I think the museum is a wonderful, it's a great location for a museum, for what you guys do, and I think it's wonderful.
Well, thank you.
That's wonderful. Well, I really appreciate you talking with us today. Man, I'm going to get this out there for the people to learn more about it, and hopefully we'll get some more visitors your way.
Sounds great. We'd love to have them.
A musician you may actually run into while visiting the Delta Blues Museum in the city of Clarksdale, Mississippi, is James Super Chicken Johnson, who's been a fixture in the area's musical scene all his life. Here's a song of his titled Free Range. Well, there you have some information and hopefully some inspiration to plan a trip down to the Mississippi Delta area where you can visit the Delta Blues Museum and check out the music scene down there. We'll cut out of here today with a song by another Clarksdale, Mississippi native, John Lee Hooker, in a song titled Bad Like Jesse James. This is Mr. Jack. Thanks for being with me today on our cruise to the Mississippi Delta area, where the roots of most of our modern music we listen to came from. Until next time, I'll catch you later.
Had a friend one time. He said, I thought I did. The cat come to me. Said, Johnny. I said, what, man? My door. Taking the cat in, you know, a place to stay, and a bed to sleep in. I found now, he's going around town, telling everybody that he got my wife. And I get mad. I go to the cat, I say, look, man, I'm gonna warn you one time. Next time I warn you, I'll use my gun. Cause I'm mad. And I'm bad. By Jesse Jane. I got three boys. Do my dirty way. You don't see me. I'm the big boss. I do the pain all. Have the job I did. It may shoot you. It may cut you. It may drown you. I don't know. Cause I'm mad. And I'm bad. I'm bad. I'll sink you in the water. Yeah, the bubbles coming up. You gonna hold you there. You hear the bubbles. Ooh, 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 ooh.